I saw the boys the other day.
Mm-hmm. O-Man, Stevie Baby, Abel Petotron.
Yeah, I remember the names of our childhood friends, Gary.
We had ourselves a little idea.
As you know.
Yeah, we're going to go back to Newton Haven.
Why?
For some unfinished business.
That's a joke, right?
Five guys, 12 pubs, 50 pints.
60 pints.
Steady on your fucking alky.
I haven't had a drink for 16 years, Gary.
You must be thirsty then. But we can go back, see the guys, chew the fat, and it'll be just like it always was. Except this time, we are going to finish this thing once and for all.
You have a very selective memory, Gary.
Thanks.
You remember the Friday nights. I remember the Monday mornings.
Yeah, that's why we're going back on a Friday.
Why do you think none of us live in Newton Haven anymore?
I don't know.
Because it is a black hole. It's boring. It always was and it always will be.
It's only boring because we're not there.
It's pointless arguing with you.
Exactly. So come. I'm picking everybody up from High Wycombe Station Friday, 3 o'clock, sharp.
No, Gary.
Oh, God, why, have you got to check with your missus?
No, actually, I don't have to check with my missus.
What are you doing?
I'm showing you the door.
Is it a door? I mean, it doesn't have a lintel, and it's glass. So is it a window or is it a door? Maybe it's a window.
People try to put us to death.
Talking about my generation.
Just because we get around.
Talking about my generation.
Things they do look awful.
Talking about my generation.
I hope I die before I get old.
Talking about my generation.
So hi and welcome to the Unnamable Podcast.
This is Damien.
And this is Douglas. What have you done, Damien? What have you done? Are we over? Are we done? Are we not? we are unwelcome.
Why, what did Damien do?
We are unwelcome.
I didn't even notice, to be quite honest.
Could have not brought attention to it. It would have been fine, Douglas.
It wouldn't have been until I edited the podcast. That would have
wait
been like,
a
wait,
second.
They didn't say that much.
These stupid idiots. Stop being stupid idiots. For now.
Guys, an important event happened.
Yes.
This week, yes. By.
Damien finally caught up on The Flash.
No, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about Flash. Because that isn't cinema. Oh. Right?
In your face, Flash!
Flash is only TV. It's not HBO, right. It's TV. But cinema right. This week.
We don't have one of those out here, so I couldn't tell you.
None whatsoever.
We got, finally, the movie I've been waiting for 20 years.
Final Fantasy VII.
A Fish Called Wanda Part 2?
Yeah. What we do in Shadows
Thor Part
2.
3. Thor Part 3, Ragnarok. Or as I like to call it, please, dear God, please let me make Skux Life Part 2. I really liked making this movie, and I made all my Skux Life friends in it too. They're funny. Please let me make Part 2. Taika Waititi's Thor Ragnarok.
So much has happened since I last saw you. I lost my hammer, like yesterday, so that's still pretty fresh.
And then I went on a journey of self-discovery. Where I met you.
Where are we? Damien. You asked us to come and talk about this movie.
Yeah.
Did he?
Yes,
so why
I did.
Don't you,
no, I put it as my pick for the next week.
Why would you do that? So, Damien.
Hi.
We saw this movie together.
Yep.
And we agreed that this movie is fucking horrible.
This movie sucks.
It's so bad.
I mean,
so many moments. There are so many that you can't even point to one in
right.
particular.
There's the fact that everything is darker than it's supposed to be because Carib sucks.
Just let me know when you guys are done and you'll actually stop this joke that isn't funny.
There's also the fact that they keep
Just give me a clean edit point.
They continue to do the thing where they, even though they know there's post-credit scenes, they feel the need to give that stupid announcement just before the post-credit scene starts, so then you miss part of the post-credit scenes, which is also dumb. Also, Marvel still is putting post-credit scenes at the very end of the credits, which you and I will never see, because additional time spent in Carib is not a thing that I'm ever going to be okay with. Mm-hmm. There was also a lot of trailers before the movie started. Don't know what that's about. And yeah, this movie on a whole, it's trash is what this movie is.
That sounds good.
Yeah, I think this
Douglas,
movie
do you have
sucks.
Anything to add?
No, just that this movie is... Okay, so on a scale from Thor to Thor 2.
Yeah. It's better than Thor 2.
Quick question.
It's 2.5 Thors.
So that I understand how the scale works.
Yeah.
Is
Thor the good end or is Thor 2 the good end?
You really do misunderstand how the scale works. You assume that
better.
It's a binary
right?
scale. And that the scale, there is a positive and there is a negative. No. This is just quantification of negatives. This is just how negative.
No, but I want to know which one is above the other one. That's what I really want.
No, it's a balanced scale. There's two sides and it is in perfect harmony.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thor Ragnarok.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is a goddamn fantastic movie, and you guys are lying to me. I know this as a fact.
Isn't this technically Hulk 3?
I was sitting behind you the whole time you were watching this movie, and I heard you, right? I heard you laugh when you heard the guy who was in Hulk for the Wilder People's voice come out of Korg.
Yep.
I heard you when you noticed Sam Neill was Odin in a play.
Yes.
I heard you. When Loki laughed at Hulk beating the crap out of Thor, I heard you guys.
You didn't hear us laugh at play or was it Ryan Hemsworth being Thor in the same play? So it's other brother.
I kept looking at him and I'm like, everybody, I know everybody that's here. This has to be somebody.
Yeah.
But okay, that's an even better joke.
Yeah, this is an even better joke. You heard us laugh at that.
Yes, I did.
You heard me laugh when they got to the garbage planet and I said, oh, it's Portmore.
Yeah, he actually said that. I had to look around and make sure nobody was ready to murder us.
But that's it. That's the only two times. There's no more laughing in this movie. Plus, as I said earlier, this is Hulk 3. This is what this movie is.
No, it's Thor 3.
There's two terrible Hulk movies. This is the first really good Hulk movie. This is what this is. Thor is in there somewhere, I guess.
This movie is awesome.
Douglas, don't say it into the microphones. Douglas.
There's no way to get around it. This movie is fucking great. And I'm so upset with it. That makes this the worst Thor movie ever. And let me tell you why. Because
it's not better than Hunt for the Wilder People.
No, it's not.
I'm sticking to that. So this is not a good movie. Based on that metric alone.
But guys, here's how this works.
Damien, you look like people who need leadership.
Yes. Damn, Douglas. That's a joke that they made.
No, I know, I know. I'm looking at something else.
Mm-hmm.
So here is the problem with this movie.
Mm-hmm. Taika Waititi is the best.
This movie is so good.
Mm-hmm.
That so under normal circumstances they'd have greenlit maybe two more.
Mm-hmm.
They just greenlit the next decade of Thor movies.
Mm-hmm.
And while I potentially could be on board with that if a certain director was attached to all of said movies, it's not going to happen. The next five movies will be a return to the Thor of old.
Give me sight beyond sight.
Andrew, this movie exceeded all of my expectations.
Douglas, you keep saying it into the microphone, because, Douglas.
Because, so, I've always, to loved one Thor. Degree or another, loved Taika Waititi.
Thor, yeah.
Even okay. from his days of making Boy, which actually I didn't end up liking that movie when I saw it. But just, the... Have you ever watched it, Damon?
I started, but it was bad, and yeah, I didn't want bad. To ruin. I came to it after I saw a good Taika.
So I actually watched it when that was Taika, right? But there are so many, just the dream sequences. Mm-hmm. You can see, you know what? Something. There is something, and finally he got it right. Not with the next one, which I think, did he do Ego versus Shaq? I think he may have, and I didn't like that one either. Mm-hmm. But finally, What We Do in the Shadows. Was just it, and the thing is, it was so good that you thought that was it, and then this motherfucker comes.
It's like,
and he's like, Skuck's life, oh, Tupac, gosh. And it changes your life. But yeah, this movie is great, Andrew. This movie is funny as hell. The thing that I like about this movie is, to a certain degree, what I kind of don't like about Guardians of the Galaxy, and it is that this movie is very Star Trek episodic kind of movie. The movie, about 3/4 of the movie, isn't actually about the movie. It's just random shenanigans and this random side story of Thor getting lost in space, essentially. How many of our listeners are going to actually know what that is?
Listen, I'm going to the one
have
place.
Have we made?
I don't think I've put that have in the podcast.
That joke, yet?
That joke is old enough that everyone should know. And if you don't, no, I'm sorry.
So it is him just messing around. And his hair getting cut off, and his hammer getting broken, and Loki laughing at him because he has to fight a big green person.
And Jeff Goldblum being the best.
Jeff Goldblum, the absolute best.
Did Damian just compliment Jeff Goldblum?
Oh my god.
Isn't that like the one truth we know in this world? Dog. That Damian hated all things Jeff Goldblum?
Dog. Listen, now that Douglas has fucked this up completely, right? And made this review an actual review instead of us just pretending that this movie sucks and complimenting YTT and pretending Thor doesn't exist. Andrew, this movie is the second best Marvel movie, right? It is Winter Soldier and then this. Nothing else is close. This movie is tremendous. I like it more the one viewing than the first Guardians of the Galaxy, which is frustrating. Not because I don't want to enjoy Taika Waititi, but because, Andrew, I'm not going to see any more movies like this, right? They're not going to.
I've been waiting 5 years to hear you guys praise Thor movies.
They're not going to turn over.
I mean, I know it doesn't count, but I feel so vindicated.
They're not going to turn over the Marvel Universe to Waititi. He's not going to be the driving factor going forward. This is just going to be a cute story, and then they're going to go back to their Nintendo Power Gauntlet story, whatever that madness is. Andrew, at some point, I was looking for what the final scene was on YouTube, because I refuse to stay in the Carib a second longer than I have to. And there were some guys reviewing the end of the movie. And one of them was like, oh, Taika Waititi refused to do the one thing, which is, you know, make the ending matter. He was just doing his dumb joke. So when... where did they live? Asgard was destroyed instead of taking it seriously. And for a second, I felt the twitch that I used to feel as a teenager.
to shout at the internet that the internet is wrong. I'm like, oh no, I really do love this movie. This stupid movie almost got me to shout at the internet. And I'm not amused by this at all. At all. Like, I love Taika Waititi. I've loved two Taika Waititi movies. One way more than the other, but still, love them both. And I'd have preferred if he never did a Marvel movie so I could move on with my life. But he did. But
now it's three.
He did, and he made it so good. Like, the only... I was saying to Douglas as I was coming out, boy, they really wasted Carl Urban. And Douglas said, Damn, you're just finding reasons to nitpick this movie because you don't want to like this movie.
Carl Urban was awesome in this movie.
And I mean, Douglas is right.
He definitely doesn't have as many like outstanding jokes. Like, I mean, he opens something with the Des and Troy joke, which, oh,
Andrew, I have to,
I love that so much.
Something to not like about this movie, right? The only thing I have so far is the dream sequences with their father. That is it. But just before the first one where they go to wherever their father is, Taika Waititi already in 3 minutes made Doctor Strange better than his entire movie.
Right? Hey, I like the Doctor Strange movie.
I like it too. But Taika Waititi took it to a whole nother level in 13 seconds. He was just like, it was just like joke after joke. Like, watching it, Thor be disoriented the entire time and then have Loki fall out of nowhere. And then he's just like, oh, you think this is it? And then he's like, I don't have time for this. I'm like, that is perfect. Like, from there, me and Douglas was just looking at each other like, oh no. Oh no. At intermission, Douglas and I sat there looking at each other like, Damien. Damien, this movie, Damien. I'm like, Douglas. Douglas will have to agree. Andrew can never know about this. Right? I was going to give it a week, and then when we came on, me and Douglas would just be like, I don't see it. That's basically what I thought the review was going to be. Right? We'd secretly know. You'd secretly know, but no one would hear it. But he couldn't do it. He's a child.
No, I couldn't. I could not.
What are you the god of? Not the god of hammers. I was like, oh. Not the god of hammers. I just wanted that MC Hammer joke right there. I just wanted someone to say Hammer Time just once. But nope.
The other thing you guys haven't mentioned so far are the two females who take into the cast this time. Mm-hmm. Tessa Thompson, who plays the Valkyrie.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. Kate Blanchett, who plays the goddess of death, Hela. Oh,
I mean Manifesto?
No.
Uh-huh.
Hela.
You mean Manifesto?
No, you're sitting in the past, Damien. You must let old wounds go away.
I mean, wasn't
and come.
She's the god of death, which is what Manifesto felt like.
Yeah.
I think a slow death.
She was reporting on this movie. Oh. What she was doing at the end.
It's amazing to me how characters like these just kind of jump out, because Marvel, in all of their films, the things that, especially early on in the MCU phases, people were just so happy with all of their villains. But it feels to me like for the last year, the villains have been just mediocre in their films.
Mediocre.
I mean, as much as...
I love that Guardians of the Galaxy 2. So we just need to do something like that. Paul.
They can put that on my tombstone.
I really like Guardians of the Galaxy 2. But it's and part of it is that it doesn't really have a villain for like a 90% of the movie, and then it turns Kurt Russell into a bad guy.
Yes.
For you, planet. And then that's that. And what was the one before that? Doctor Strange with
Who was the villain in Doctor
Strange? Hannibal.
Hannibal as the villain. Like,
I was going to call him Lars von Trier.
Really?
I'm just like, Damien, what? How is there not a Lars von Trier movie with what's his face? With Hannibal. Mads, yeah, Mads Mikkelsen. How has that not happened?
You know why? Because ref and call dibs.
And I'm trying to remember what the movie was before that, but I can't remember at this stage. But the villains just haven't been stellar. They haven't been standout. And I mean, Loki was like the standout at the beginning of the Marvel films, which is why we've seen him now 4 times in these movies, including the first Avengers. And Hela just like knocks everything out of the water. Just... not even just as being a spectacle.
We knocked it out of the water. Douglas, look at me. I knocked it out of the water. Okay? It's a real phrase, Douglas. I'm going to put on a shirt. Put it in my phone right now.
Yes, you have water and then you knock it.
Right. You know that game where you're playing water and then you knock things out of the water?
In water polo, you know, you don't know what, that's what you do. like, she has the spectacle and she has the character with her that you see from the first moment she steps on screen, and she crushes hammers, and then that's the driving force that sends us to Sakaar, which pulls in all of the fun when we meet up with Hulk again, and then we get the Valkyrie
garbage dump.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that the planet is called Sakaar.
Garbage dump.
It's called Gaza, guys. Now, for people who don't live in Jamaica, they call it Portmore Gaza, and the reason they call it that is because Jamaicans heard that Gaza was the most dangerous place, and instead of looking at why it's probably a bad idea to give a nickname like Gaza to anywhere. Douglas, stop it.
I'm going to find a way to plug that into the podcast and make it work.
Are you guys playing music over?
Douglas would never do that.
I wasn't just playing a song by the name of Garbage Dump.
Yes.
Where a fella just sings, garbage dump. And by the way, would you like to know who that fella is?
Who's that fella?
Charles Manson. Do you know who that is?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Charlie Manson.
Yeah. He started out as a folk singer and then somehow turned into the famous person that we, or infamous person that we... attach that name.
Infamy. It's better than fame.
You're infamous. Yes.
Andrew almost just said infamy is better than fami. Like, he had to pause. I heard it. And I'm calling him on it right now. He's like, infamy is better than fami. Fame, right? Fame.
Here's how that works, right? Yeah. He was going to say fami and then he stopped himself. Because he knew the word was famousness.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Famosity.
But anyways, guys.
I heard you.
Sakaar.
Right.
All right.
Drakkar Noir.
the planet of Sakaar.
It probably smells like it.
Right. At this point, we get this great introduction of the Valkyrie played by Tessa Thompson with her drunken walking off of her ship.
Can I tell you, Andrew, just to let you know that I see this, and this is why I love this character so much. This is the natural progression of her character from War on Everyone. Yes. This is who she becomes.
Mm-hmm.
After she's finally had enough with Stellan Skarsgård, who, by the way, is the scientist's like
father,
nephew or something like that, right? And, you know, she now has to go off to Asgard and Drakkar Nuar to do all sorts of shenanigans.
And when she stepped off of that platform, I was like, God damn it.
Yes.
I love even more that when she's like playing to fight and you're like not sure what's going to happen. Yeah. And then you realize what her weapon that she's leaning with is. Yeah. Oh, a great fun moment.
I thought she was going to only like shoot one at one of them so that they know what is about to happen. But no, she's just like, nope. I'm going to smoke every last one of you. But, all right. This is a children's movie, right? Just murdered 40 people. PG,
those
what?
Weren't people. They were aliens.
Yes. Illegal aliens.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
Yeah. That's why they were doing the garbage thing they were building a wall.
Right.
Yeah.
That would trump them from trying to jump over it. It trumps their attempts to go over the wall.
I feel like this movie does the great thing that I love all great movies I love to do, which is that with every character, even the ones that we already know previously from the franchise, they find the best ways to just introduce them into the movie. You have the Cate Blanchett badass introduction with the destruction of the hammer. You have Tessa Thompson falling off of the ship. You have Jeff Goldblum introductory scene with Topaz, which is played by Rachel House,
yes.
Or as we know her better, the Terminator.
Mm-hmm.
And even the characters we know, when Thor enters the movie, it's that wonderful opening with, oh guys, we've not talked in a while, and he's just talking to this skeleton in a cage, and it's this great opening scene. When we meet Loki back, we go back to Asgard and we see that reveal that we kind of already know if you saw the last Thor movie, with Thor throwing the hammer to get him to change from Odin into Loki, and the play happening and everything going on. This movie is just packed filled with great introductions, and I know I said it a little bit earlier, but Carl Urban's introduction with his monologue about the guns he bought in Texas.
Oh my god.
Texas.
Call this one Dez. Destroy.
Put them together.
Destroy.
I hate Taika Waititi so much. Douglas.
You see, the thing about this movie is, and I love this movie for the same reason I love War on Everyone. Again, a shameless plug.
Can
Andrew
you please stop equating all of your movies
Andrew,
to War on Everyone?
This movie is War on Everyone with superpowers.
It really
that is.
That is
what this movie is.
Hold on. Let me get this straight. Are you telling me that War on Everyone doesn't have superpowers?
No.
Then fuck that movie. There's all movies without superpowers.
Can you imagine?
I mean, imagine if Taika Waititi brought up Frog, the Thor Frog, into these movies.
So you speak about these things like we know what you're talking about.
What is he talking
so about? I only know that this potentially is a thing because he sent me a WhatsApp with it the other day.
I sent it on Twitter.
Or whatever it was. He sent me something where it was a picture of a frog dressed like Thor.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what I was supposed to mean. It's a picture.
Okay.
What? But apparently, I guess what Andrew's trying to tell us is that he is a thing. Like, you remember in the old like MGM cartoons where they had the WB cartoons, rather,
mm-hmm.
You had the dancing frog.
Right.
Maybe that's what that is.
Okay.
I don't know.
And I gave him a hammer.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Yes, there's a frog Thor.
Okay. What is he the god of?
Thor.
Did he meet Halle Berry? Did Halle Berry do that stupid line, what happens to a frog when he's hit by lightning?
Probably. And then he said, I do it all the time.
That's why you aren't allowed to like this movie, Andrew. You of all people should hate this. You hate War on Everyone because you're wrong. So you should, by extension, hate this movie.
Damien. Andrew.
Basically, what I'm doing to you is I'm liking everything around War and Everyone.
Yeah, because you're not an asshole.
And the thing is, as I said, this is just like War and Everyone because there is every scene has a moment. It has multiple moments of just the dumbest fucking jokes. And it's perfect. Because you watch it and it just washes over you. It just hits you wave after wave of tomfoolery.
Shenanigans.
What
this movie should have been
this
called.
Is one of the most smile-worthy movies I've seen in a long while.
Waititi doesn't seem
since
like the person to not. Like, I don't think he's
able to make a movie without that.
No, he's not.
I think he might be in. Because every interview I've seen him in, you can tell that that is the man that gave us Hunt for the Wilder People and this movie. He seems wholly incapable of not being outlandish and keeping up shenanigans. Like,
he was. I even read an interview with him where he was talking about a scene he wanted to put in the movie, but he ended up cutting. Where he basically had a flashback to Thor and Loki when they were little, and them seeing the Valkyrie, because they talk a lot in this movie about how Thor always idolized the Valkyrie. And he was like, look, I wanted to have an emo 80s goth Loki teenager and a fat Thor. Just looking up to the Valkyrie.
His mind.
And that's the thing, right? So the thing about this movie, and crazy. I think I watched all the trailers, so I can say this. It did not sell itself for what it is. You watch the trailers and it sold itself as Thor Part 3.
Right, it sold itself as another one of this.
Exactly. Another action movie.
Which I guess is how they have to sell it, because it makes so much money.
Absolutely. But then that's why when I got there, even when I got there, as much as I love Taika, I wasn't really...
I was prepared to defend Taika while hating this movie.
Yeah. And then, as Damian says, after maybe a couple of minutes, we turned to each other and...
Like, when he was...
look of...
When he was spinning around on the chain, talking to... When the guy is talking to him, I was like, wait, hold on. Yes. From that point, you're like, oh, God.
I promise I'm not doing this.
Damn it. Like, I almost
Is it weird that the joke in my head that I love the most about this movie is the point when Thor and Bruce are, like, trying to hide and find a way out, and Valkyrie find him, and he's, like, wearing disguise. Mm-hmm. She's like, I can see your face.
Yeah.
You see him just kind of pulling a thing over his face. And be like, he can't see it. So dumb.
I love it. And that's the thing. What Taika made Thor was, he kind of was that a little bit, but, you know, it's always been
Thor
fully
was
serious.
Always a silly person.
Yeah, but the movies have always been serious. So they took it to an extreme where you realize, yeah, not that Thor is silly, but that Thor is fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And somehow gets away with it.
He's
because
a
of
big
his
dummy with
physical, physical attributes, his brawn and his good looks, right? That's what gets him by.
Like, he's skated by because he's
I'm
the
strongest Avenger. Yeah.
He's the strongest Avenger.
He's very good at fighting. And he's a beautiful man. So it's like, everyone loves me. It's like, of course you can. Like, having the lady stop and take a selfie with you, you're just like, of course.
Yeah.
Of course it's movie. Stupid
Damian,
movie.
Damian, I was falling for 30 minutes.
Yes.
Yes.
I love everybody on the internet has been pointing out that for those scenes when they're on Earth early on, Loki's dressed like Tommy Wiseau.
Oh, is he? Okay.
That's pretty good.
All right.
If that's deliberate, well done.
Yeah. we'll see how that movie pans out. Should I watch the original?
Douglas, no.
No.
Is it that bad?
Douglas, listen.
I haven't watched it. Don't
Douglas,
do it.
It. If you watch it in a theater filled with people who already know what is happening and can make fun of the movie the entire time, maybe.
Okay.
But Douglas, you'd have to watch it how I watch it.
Ooh, yeah.
Which is by yourself. Wondering what, like, Douglas, I don't see what is funny about that movie.
That's it supposed to be funny?
No.
When I say supposed, oh, because people find, yeah.
Yeah, like the people who have the jokes, right? They've completed the circle.
Yeah.
Where it's gone, it was so bad that it's finally made. Like, I didn't get there because I don't know what, like, it's just trash. It's just a terrible movie.
So what you're saying is I need to watch it the way that I first watched Rocky Horror Picture Show.
No, Douglas,
which is probably why I like Rocky Horror Picture Show so
Douglas,
much.
I don't even think that way. Like, this movie is so bad, I don't think even if you watch it under the best circumstances you wouldn't like this movie. There's nothing there, Douglas. He's just bad. The director guy is just bad, and there's no story there.
you watch Wolf Warrior, right?
Oh, don't remind me.
Yeah, it's worse than that. let me be serious for a second. Given the option of Butcher Boy and Tommy Wiseau, no joke, I'd take Butcher Boy.
Your point has been made.
Because at least there's one thing in Butcher Boy I can point and go, this movie is the worst. But it is not like Douglas, it's just devoid.
And that's just the explosion, right?
Yeah, that's just the explosion. I can point to that and go,
I love that moment when I got that email. Right? That's great.
But there's none of that. There's nothing like that in. Like, it's just, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to be gained by doing it. It's not a touchstone that you need. You know what bad movies look like. You can guess. And then it's worse than that.
Can I though?
What are we talking about? How did we get here?
I don't know how we got here.
Listen, Thor is great. It is now number 2 on the Marvel list of movies. Right?
It's coming for the number 1 spot. It's going to fight its way up there.
I mean,
fuck, Damian.
That Captain America movie.
You realize this is going to have to be on the top 10 at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Shit.
You mean this, this strong year that you guys keep telling me about? It's November. Hey guys, the year ends in 6 weeks and I don't have 10 movies I love yet. So this year's been real strong, guys. Real
Douglas,
strong.
When we do the top 10 of the year, I expect you to pay Thor the correct respect levels.
Yeah, he'll be number 3. He's the third best movie I've seen. Get Out is still this year, right?
Yes.
So Get Out is clearly number 1. Yeah. Far running away with it.
I think Free Fire technically is this year too.
All right, yeah. So that's... Yeah. Somewhere there. Anyways, Wickham Part 2.
Moving along.
Jonathan Wickham, the second. The Wickening.
Moving along.
Right. So this is number 3 so far. This movie's number 3 amongst.
Is there anything you guys want to talk about other than workshopping your top 10 again?
Is there a way for us to figure out how we can get Hunt for the Wilder People to be at 2018?
I saw it in 2017.
2017, right? Yeah.
I saw Hunt for the Wilder People in 2017.
Yeah, so that counts.
What you can do is you can watch Thor and close your eyes and tell me you saw Hunt for the Wilder People.
All right. Challenge accepted. I finally started watching Flash.
The Flash.
I mean,
did you see the Machete episode? Yeah.
That's the reason why I wanted to see it. I was like, all right, I need to see what the F is happening here.
Yeah.
But he didn't really anything.
It was dumb. It was,
the jokes were about him, but he, like, they're just like, why is the scariest man in the world walking around the halls? They're like, yeah. But, I mean, it was funny.
Yeah.
His name is Josh.
Yeah.
That final joke was pretty good. What's your father's name? Josh. Alright, cool. But, I mean, it's not as depressing as the last season,
you didn't like the last
season? Thank Christ. Last season, that show isn't designed to do dark and brooding. So I'm glad that they're off that. Let's find some joy and happiness. Leave the darkness to Arrow, because I'm not going to watch that, so it doesn't matter. But yeah, I mean, it feels like more Flash. I could take it and leave it at this point. Still watching The Good Place, which is still my favorite show. My favorite new show, despite the fact that it's not that new.
It's not that new and it's not that good.
That
show is amazing.
I'll take umbrage with the not that good part.
Listen.
Douglas, for the premise of that show
is just a stupid
it
show.
It is outstanding that they've made a show this funny.
I enjoy it, but it's not good.
Right? It is crazy that they've got this done. It's so dumb. Such a dumb show. But outside of that, it's just watching my favorite movies of That is the reason why I'm not updating Letterboxd, because I don't just want it to be 5 stars for all of my favorite movies.
Oh, you mean like me and my 20 watch count on About Time, right? Or The Night's Tale.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. How many times you gonna put the same 3 movies up before people go, I can just not follow Damon anymore?
For instance, I believe the last movie I posted on Letterboxd was War on Everyone.
Yeah, I saw that.
So, all right, I want to talk about a movie I saw.
Doesn't go to school, and he has a lot of free time. He went to places to watch movies.
I went and I saw the latest film by Ruben Östlund, The Square. The film that won the Palme d'Or this year.
Is that like a prequel or a sequel to The Cube?
Nope.
Okay.
And for those of you who don't remember his name, he's the guy who gave us Force Majeure a few years back.
Okay.
Did any of you guys watch Force Majeure?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Have you not watched Force Majeure? I thought...
Force Major?
Force Majeure?
What is that movie?
All right, moving on.
I know about the movie, and I keep meaning to watch it, but I haven't.
Yeah. So The Square is a film centered around a guy named Christian, who is basically the guy who runs this very modern, very experimental art gallery. And we follow him throughout this time in his life, where a lot of things are going on through the art gallery. One of the things that they're going to be showing is the exhibition of The Square, which is kind of a non sequitur to the film. It's not that important. But this movie is a film of vignettes, more or less, of just what's happening at the art gallery. So, for example, at the beginning of the film, there's this installation of literally some gravel pilings, and it becomes a big thing when someone accidentally cleans up some of the gravel pilings, and him having to figure out stuff. There's the installation of The Square, which is this just literally a square on the ground lit in, which is to represent a safe space for people, and becomes an issue when the artists working on it release a viral video to kind of promote the square, and it becomes a problem with the world. But at the same time, this movie is mainly about Christian, and he is having all of these things happen to him, including at the beginning of the film, he has his phone stolen from him, and he finds out where the guy who stole it is. But he doesn't know which apartment it's in. It's in this big apartment building. And so he writes a threatening letter telling them return it or else, and gives it to everybody's apartment in the building. And this film, like Force Majeure, the way I see it, is a film which is basically laying bare masculinity in the world of today. There's so many times when we're talking about movies, I mean, we just finished talking about Thor, where it's all about these superpowered humans, and it doesn't have to just be superheroes, but it can be kung fu films, action movies, movies where men take action and they actually punch their way out of their problems. But at the same time, this film is the kind of movie that reminds us that the man of today, for the most part, doesn't take action. In a world in which you sit back and you watch all of these crazy things happening, you're always in the herd mentality. The one big set piece in this movie, which has been highly featured in the trailers for this film, is a dinner that's happening for the museum. And they invite this artist who basically does an ape impersonation. So he walks into the dinner impersonating an ape, you know, beating his chest, walking around, he jumps up on tables. And slowly but surely, people start out applauding, telling him, oh, you're doing such a great performance. And then they realize that this guy is in deep and he is like attacking people. He is he goes up to Dominic West, one of the few like Western actors whose names you'd know watching this movie, and just kind of pats him on the head and makes him a little antsy. And for the whole time of this set piece, you're watching this guy just have free reign in the room and not be disturbed. And you're waiting for the moment when finally someone will get up and say, all right, we've had enough of this shit, and we'll do something. And it just, it's a great movie showing just the ways in which society has supposedly, like, I only say supposedly because the idea that we're going against a superhero action idea is something that we only have myths in our head of how men were, right? We have stories of heroes and everything in the real world, but how many are of one single man, and how many can we say are fact versus myth? This movie reminds us that we're this society of people who just want to take the least troubled path. And it is a fascinating, crazy movie. And I don't know if I've sold it well enough to you guys, but I love this movie. This is a great movie, and I can't wait for you guys to see it. Just like how I'm bringing you guys to watch Force Majeure, but you guys haven't seen that either, so
yeah, I haven't
who knows?
Seen that either, but you know, I hear it's good, and now that you've linked the two, I now want to watch this movie.
Like, this is like Denis Villeneuve. You remember when we found Denis Villeneuve and we saw Incendies and Prisoners, and I can't remember what the third one at the time was. But at that point, we were like, holy shit, who is this guy? And we immediately have to go back, and we tried with Polytechnique. I think we did like one other, but I feel like this for Ruben Oslod. After these two movies, Force Majeure and all this, I'm like, shit, I need to find the rest of his movies.
Yeah. It's like, actually, I want to watch, I don't know how he pronounces his name because he's from Denmark. Mm-hmm. So it's probably not Joaquin. Joachim. Von Trier's new movie, it came out this year.
In relation to,
yes, very much related. Yes,
I believe he's a cousin.
Yeah. We've watched a movie of his, Oslo 88.
Yeah, we saw Oslo.
Oh
yeah,
yeah, but
it was good, but it wasn't great. It wasn't Von Trier,
right?
Yes.
If you're going to trade on the Von Trier name, you should be better.
He should have just been Joaquin VT, right? Yeah. And you just never think about it.
Right. You should do what what's her face should do. And stop ruining her father's name.
Yeah, that was so cool.
Yes. Stop tarnishing the good name of her father. And call herself something else.
But she hasn't done that.
That's what she should do, no? Junior Gong didn't call himself Damian Marley. It was only after the fact.
Oh, really?
Right. He was Junior Gong, and then people are like, all right, he finally did something good. He's also Bob Marley's son.
So Junior Gong isn't good enough?
Right. Junior Gong was good enough. And that is how he got to earn his father's last name. Right? Before, when he wasn't certain, they were like, listen, just call yourself Junior Gong. If you don't mind.
Go watch Force Majeure, guys.
Where?
That movie's awesome.
Where am I going to watch it? In Jamaica?
I believe it's on Netflix.
Real Netflix or foreign Netflix?
There is only one real Netflix.
You're right. The one in Jamaica.
No.
Go watch Force Majeure.
Douglas.
And go watch The Square.
What have you seen that is a new movie?
I actually did see a new movie. Chef. So I watched. Yeah, Damien walked in on me watching Chef today.
Mm-hmm, I was disappointed. I'd have preferred seeing him masturbate, if I'm being honest.
Wow.
And watching a grown man watch Chef.
So I finally put movies on the box, Andrew. The box now has two movies on there. Mm-hmm. One is The Chef.
Oh, no.
And the second one is About Time. Mm-hmm. And I'm fine with that.
Sounds like it's all you're playing.
Yeah, pretty much. I
mean, I'd say you're a bad person, but you never
throw in A Knight's Tale, and you'll never
watch it.
That's literally what I said to you.
So anyway, so
I watched War on Everyone recently, but of course that's not a new movie. Mm-hmm. A movie that I did watch, actually, I think I watched it last night, was an Ethan Hawke movie. I think it just came out. It's called...
That's bad. He doesn't make good movies that aren't three.
Yeah, the three. No, he has a few other decent ones, but the name of this movie... Okay, let's back up. Do you recall?
I'm going to just jump the line.
Find out
what this movie is.
A 90s, probably late 90s hip hop tune with, I think it was Lux. The Lux.
You mean
Lil Kim? I think there was another fella on it. And they spoke about what they'd do if they died the next morning. You know, 24 hours to live.
Yes.
Just so that's the name of this movie. And
the Dead Poets Society?
Yes, he was in that movie, but no, that did not come out in 2017, apparently not.
Oh, just a little off.
Yeah, so Ethan Hawke, 24 Hours to Live. This movie is a 90s action movie. Where Ethan Hawke is a super assassin who works for an evil corporation based in South Africa.
Okay. So he's a Jamaican DJ?
Yeah, pretty much.
Why is the volume on?
And he screws up on his on one of his missions. So apparently something bad has happened.
So it's Jason Bourne.
Yeah, and he then goes on a mission, screws it up, and the woman kills him. But the evil corporation has done enough work, enough deep, dark, evil research to bring people back to life. And guess what, Damien? They brought him back to life. But he's only got 24 hours to live.
Sweet science.
Yeah, and he actually has, he has a machine, like a watch, embedded a stop clock in embedded in his arm that counts down to when he will die.
So it's Crank, but bad?
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't we see this movie already? Oh, isn't it called About Time or something?
No, but About Time had Justin Timberlake and wasn't an action movie. This is literally Crank.
This, yeah, yeah, it's Crank. And how he runs around.
Refresh the time?
He can't, unfortunately. And so, you know, that's how the movie has to end.
So there's no travel time?
No, there's
he just teleports from place to place?
Yeah. Come on.
And he doesn't sleep?
Doesn't sleep.
Okay. And is effective even at hour one or with 59 minutes to go?
Oh, of course.
It's just raw adrenaline, yeah, no sleep.
Absolutely.
All
right. This movie is kind of bad. There's some redeeming 90s shitty moments kind of quality to it, but it's not good. Nowhere near it.
He seems to be in somewhere with a lot of Africans.
Yes, that would be South Africa.
But then there's an alarming amount of white people and Chinese people in this movie.
Well, you know.
Doesn't seem very... Is South Africa, like, giving movies... like a lot of money to come shoot shitty movies there?
Maybe. Is this not the first? I feel like it's one of the first ones I've seen there. Yeah, but yeah, so that's a shitty movie. I really haven't watched a lot of movies that or not TV in a little while. It's been a lot of TV, a lot of catching up, a lot of watching shit like The Flash. but yes, I have nothing exciting, nothing good to talk about outside of the movie that we spoke about earlier. So Damon, what
do you have to say? I didn't say anything. You know me, at this point it's sports.
Yeah,
it's just I'm trapped.
I know just what you're saying.
Too much sports. Add in NFL. NFL eats my like there's a time at like 3 o'clock on a Sunday, I could be free. I'm up until 10 o'clock on Sunday. There's no. I'm watching the NFL. It's bad. because it's an early start on Sundays. The football won't watch itself.
Oh, of course. Well,
and then I go to my
lucky bedroom. You, they've now switched back over, so you get to stay
get
up an hour later.
Get 1 hour. One hour more sleep in the morning.
1 hour less sleep.
I get to sleep up for an extra hour in the morning, and it's still up another hour.
Okay, I get you. Yeah.
4 more sleep.